Now, if you will turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul gives us some instructions concerning our relationship to Christ and our relationship to the world, those things that pertain to the Christian walk. And I'm going to read for you in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And I trust that you'll be in prayer for the message and for this service, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and His name only might be honored above all. Before we read our text, will you join with me in a moment of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou art the author of this word that we are about to read. We thank Thee that it is sharper than a sword with two edges. We thank Thee that Thou hast given to us, unworthy as we are, this grand and glorious privilege of proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Thy marvelous grace. Give us a sense of direction as we read and as we proclaim this truth. Burn within our hearts the fires of revival, the fires of concern for lost humanity, for those who are yet outside the ark of safety, who need to come in, who need the Savior, who need strength, who need power, who need redemption. For those, Heavenly Father, who are in search of a church home, may they be led of Thy Spirit to identify themselves with Worth Baptist Church. All of these blessings we ask in Jesus' name and for His sake with thanksgiving. Amen. Now Paul writes to young Timothy in his second epistle, chapter 2, at verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." There's a great deal being said today about war. I don't suppose anybody has all the answers to the questions, to the many questions as to why we're fighting and why blood must be shed and why our men and boys have to go to distant battlefields to protect and preserve our liberties and our freedoms. I'm certain that we don't even have all the questions, to say nothing of all the answers. And while we are seated here tonight, forces in armies of nations around the world are being mobilized for what might be the beginning of the last conflict that shall end this age. These are difficult days. These are dark, distressing days. The only light that shines brightly tonight is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. All other lights are dim. There is no hope outside Him. The stockpiles of ammunition tonight could blow us all off the face of the earth. And who knows at what moment some fanatical brain
might push the button that would throw us headlong into a nuclear conflict. I know one thing, and my heart is established about this matter, and every believer can say this: I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep all that I've committed unto Him against that day. My dad used to say, I wouldn't trade it for a deed to the world. It's better than all the world can offer tonight. Amen. To have that confidence and that hope and that assurance that come what may, live or die, sink or swim, survive or perish, we are going through with Jesus Christ. Amen. He's our captain, and He's never lost a battle. Amen. He is victor tonight over death, hell, and the grave. Well, I almost got started out in the wrong direction. I said all of that just to say this, that you and I tonight are soldiers in a different army. We are soldiers of the cross. Our banner is bloodstained tonight. It speaks of sacrifice. Of all the pictures that the Bible gives of the individual believer, none is clearer and none is more defining than that of a soldier. Remember, Paul said to young Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let us see something tonight of the character and the activities and the final destiny of the soldiers of the cross. I'm glad I'm in that army tonight. And to be in that army means several things to us. First of all, think with me about the Christian soldier's training. And then in the second place, I want you to think about the Christian soldier's testing. And finally, the Christian soldier's triumph. What shall I say of the Christian soldier's training? Training involves a number of things. Many of you have been in some form of the or branch of the armed services. World War I or II or Korea, the Korean conflict, or perhaps even the conflict in which we're engaged now. Those of you who have been in the armed forces know something of what it means to be a soldier. You know, and I know, that just to put a uniform on doesn't make a soldier of a man. There's more to it than this. There's rigorous training. There is sacrifice. There is the breaking of the home ties and the going away from those you love and the things you're accustomed to into a different way of life and, in many cases, into a different country. A soldier's diet is different from the civilian. I don't have to tell some of you men that. You can still taste the powdered eggs, can't you? A soldier's dress is different. A soldier's duty is different. These are some of the lines along which I wish to draw parallels as we talk for a moment or two about the Christian soldier's training. There must, in the first place, be a proper understanding of the soldier's duty. If I know anything about a soldier of the country, of Uncle Sam, his duty centers about one thing: live and or die for his country. If you look at verse 2, the word soldier has in it the word die, D-I-E. Did you ever think about that? Now Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. I die daily. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me
and gave himself for me.
The soldier's duty is to live and die for the cause he represents. Paul said when they told him not to go up to Jerusalem, I am ready not only to be bound, but I am ready to die for Christ. This is the soldier's duty. Unless a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, a young person has that understanding, they cannot make a good soldier. The understanding that your duty as a soldier of the cross is to be ready to live and to be ready to die for your Savior. Not only does it involve a proper understanding of the soldier's duty, but the Christian soldier's training involves, secondly, the understanding of a soldier's diet. You know, when a man is in training in Uncle Sam's army, he doesn't just have eating as he pleases, because he must eat those foods that are good for him, that'll help him to be strong and to be prepared for the battle. And there is a parallel here, for we as soldiers of the cross must have the proper diet. And I believe that our diet is the Word of God. Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Job said, I have esteemed his words more than my necessary food. In this same chapter of 2 Timothy in verse 15, Paul writes to young Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You and I cannot be good soldiers of the cross unless our diet is daily in the Word of God. No show of hands, but let me ask you, did you spend any time in God's Word since last Sunday? Are the only verses that you've read those that your Sunday school teacher read this morning to you? How long do you spend in the Word of God each day? Don't have time for it? We have time for the newspaper. We have time to watch our favorite program. We have time to do almost everything we want. Oh, but somebody says, I've got to keep up with current events. Here's the book to keep up with current events. This will take you out of time, this time, and into the future. I'm talking to you about being a strong soldier. Young people and adults, you cannot be strong. You cannot fight the battle of faith if you don't spend some time eating the Word of God every day. Amen. This is your diet. This is the Christian soldier's diet, and we must feast upon this Word if we're going to be the kind of soldiers that God wants us to be. The Christian soldier's training not only requires a proper understanding of the soldier's duty and a proper understanding of the soldier's diet, but a proper understanding of the soldier's dedication. What is your dedication tonight? Here I have read in verse 3 and in verse 4, thou therefore endure hardness. Somebody thought when they got saved everything is going to be easy. That's a mistake. God never promised us an easy road. It's no easy way, but you know Jesus didn't have an easy way. He walked a pathway of sacrifice. His path led him through the valley of sorrow and through the valley of death. And if we follow him, we're going to have to be prepared for sacrifice and suffering and sorrow. And the only way we can be prepared for it is to have a proper understanding of our dedication. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God doesn't demand anything unreasonable of you and me. It's your reasonable service, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 4 that I read you says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. The soldier is not his own. When he is drafted into Uncle Sam's army, he becomes Uncle Sam's man. He doesn't get to go home every night. He doesn't get to go out into the world of civilian things and partake in the business affairs and business endeavors and do what he used to do in civilian life because he's in the army now. Onward, Christian soldiers, we sang a while ago. Many of us sing it, but we're just sitting down while we sing it. We must get up and march. Hear me when I say it, but the soldier of the cross cannot and must not entangle himself with the things of the world if he's going to please him who's called him into his army. That's what Paul said in verse 4. We must have an understanding of our dedication. Not only that, but the soldier must have an understanding, a proper understanding of his dress, the manner of dress in Ephesians chapter 6. You know what Paul does? He dresses up the Christian soldier. Oh, what a dress the Christian soldier has. Listen to these words from Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole dress, the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. If that were the only battle, we could perhaps win because we have the physical stamina. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, here's Paul's word of admonition, take unto you a part of the armor. You know what's wrong with a lot of Christians tonight? They're half-dressed. They just have on a part of the armor. Paul says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The loins must be girt about with truth. That's a part of the dress, truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, that's a part of the dress. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Everywhere you walk, you ought to take the gospel of peace with you. That's a part of the dress. And above all, taking the shield of faith. Faith is the eye that sees the invisible. Faith is the hand that touches the intangible. Faith is the ear that hears the inaudible. Faith is the key that unlocks the door. Faith establishes a line of communication between you and God. That's a part of the dress. Paul says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And verse 17, and the helmet of salvation. That's the topmost part. That's step number one to be saved. Have on the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Christian soldier must have the proper understanding of his duty, of his diet, of his dedication, and of his death. And without this understanding and without rigid training, the Christian soldier is at a great disadvantage. And the Christian soldier does not perform well in the battle who has not done well in the camp of training. The Christian soldier's training. And then the Christian soldier's testing. The real test of the soldier's ability and bravery is when he's in the heat of the battle. How does he behave? How does he react? How does he respond to the call of duty? Here Uncle Sam sees what a soldier's really made out of. And I might draw that parallel and say, so it is with us, the Christian soldiers. Our commanding officer finds what we're made out of when we're thrown into the midst of the battle, the heat of the battle, the heat of the conflict. You know, if we don't do well in the little skirmishes, we're not going to fare too well in the heat of the battle. Now, in thinking about this, here's a tragic thought. Some soldiers go AWOL, absent without leave. You know, you wouldn't believe this. There are a lot of members of Worth Baptist Church tonight that are absent without leave. I haven't given them leave. The Sunday school superintendent hasn't given them leave. Now I'll go you one further. I don't believe God's given them leave. In the heat of the battle, many Christians today are AWOL. You know how despicable and despised the good soldier looks upon a man who's always trying to shirk his duty. Sometimes I feel like we have a right. I don't want you to tell the backslidden members of Worth Baptist Church this. If you give me time, I'll get around to telling them. I somehow believe that we are justified in having a despicable attitude toward people who willingly shirk their duty toward God. I've got more respect and more time for the flagrant sinner than I have for a church member who willfully, knowingly neglects his duty to God and to the church. I just don't. You know what? I've written a whole lot of them off. I've got two lists, a membership list and a written off list. And I mean this. I'm saying this with all sincerity. There are some members of this church that I've written off my list, and I will never go visit them unless they call me for help. I mean it, but I've tried, I've prayed, I've sent my men, I've sent the women, I've talked, I've done everything I know to do. As far as I'm concerned, they'll never have a visit from their pastor unless they personally call me and need me, and I'll go. But I won't go until then. They're AWOL. And the thing about it, they're not going to give an account to me. They're going to give an account to the commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may not appreciate what I said about that, but then you don't stand where I stand. And I've got a lot of patience, and I've gone, and I will go, but some I have given over into the hands of God, and I'm sure if he can't handle it, I might as well let them alone. Many Christian soldiers are AWOL tonight. Then there's another group that always stay in the infirm, the infirmary. You guys who were out there in service, you know a guy, every day he'd show up, he'd be sick, he'd have to be sent off to the infirmary. You know there are a lot of Christians like that? Well, Paul said some of them are sick and some of them even sleep or dead. They are always sick, and I don't mean physically sick nor mentally sick now when I'm talking about the Christian soldier. I'm talking about spiritually sick. They're just always sick. What they need is to get a good diet of the Word of God.
That'll cure some of that illness. And they can stay out of the infirmary and won't be infirm all the time. Christian soldiers, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
There's some in the matters of the army and their relationships with a draft dodger. You know how much respect you have for a draft dodger? None at all. I have no respect for a man that will shirk his duty in any area. And who will not abide by the regulations that are laid down before him. Doesn't matter what area it is. You know, there are a lot of so-called Christians that are draft dodgers.
They're always dodging the pastor and dodging the superintendent and dodging everybody because they don't want to become involved. Paul says, endure hardness as a good soldier.
No man that warreth entangleth himself with the things of the world, lest he please not him who is called him by his grace. Praise the Lord tonight for those who are faithful to their duties. I'm glad there's some good soldiers. I'm glad there are those, if you put them on guard duty, they'll stand. If you put them in the supply line, they'll stand and supply. If you put them on the front line to fight, they're there to fight the battle of faith. I'm glad that they are in the camp tonight. And you know what? The good soldier, the faithful soldier, the one who is faithful to his duty, always seems to come out victorious. And that leads me to my final point. The Christian soldier's triumph. I say again, those soldiers who are faithful win the favor of their commanding officer. Those soldiers who are faithful to their duty win the medals and the promotions, don't they? Didn't Paul talk about winning and striving lawfully to win it? The mastery, the crown, the medals, the promotion. Paul writes to young Timothy in his fourth chapter, and he says, Timothy, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished my course. The time of my departure is at hand, and I'm ready to be offered. And Paul goes on to say, because I fought a good fight, and I kept the faith, and I finished my course, henceforth there is laid up for me a promotion, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. And not to me only, but to all them also which love his appearance. I can recall many, many, many precious memories of my growing up in my dad's church. I can remember the days when Mordecai Ham used to come and conduct great revival meetings. Hundreds of people be saved. I can remember services when 40 and 50 people in an ordinary service, I don't mean revival, I mean an ordinary service, would be saved. I can remember when Dr. Norris used to come, the late Dr. J. Frank Norris. And I can hear him call my dad aside, and I can hear him now. He says, Bob, the boys out there in the seminary need a place to live. Want to build them a dormitory. I need $1,000 from you. My dad would get busy and get it. He'd just get busy and raise the money and send it out here. Boys, there's been a great price paid for the privilege you enjoy today. Don't abuse it. Don't abuse it. The very last act that my dad ever did was for the World Baptist Fellowship and the Bible Baptist Seminary. He died on the way home from a fellowship meeting in Ohio. I'm saying that to say this. There is a crown for the soldier. And in this day, when many ought to be standing in the battle, they ought to be holding up the banner of the cross, they're falling by the wayside. Let's stay with this stuff. One of the most precious memories that I have tonight comes in the form of an old man. Brother Miss Crowder, you'll know who I'm talking about. Brother George Price. In his last days, he was confined to a wheelchair. And hardly ever a service was ended but what George Price didn't start out. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Wear a crown. Wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. I can hear him now. Say, let me ask you tonight, are you a faithful soldier? Listen to these words. Am I a soldier of the cross? A follower of the Lamb? Or must I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the tide. Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Let us stand for our